Amen. If you believe that tonight, just type that in there. We have more than enough. We have more than enough. Look, let me share, start off like this. I just celebrated another birthday. And I'm telling you, the Lord has been so kind to me because so many times the enemy would have liked me to believe that I wouldn't have many more birthdays, especially back in 2017 with that whole cancer scare. We didn't know what was going to end up. I knew that my salvation is secure and my eternity, I believe, is secure. But we just didn't know exactly how this was going to play out. So I was like, Lord, if I die, I win. If I live, I win. If I die, I win. Either way, I win. That's just it. And I don't know about you in the chat, but that is a testimony. That's an assurance that I have within me that to live is Christ, to die is gain. I believe I will see him in peace. At least that's what I'm striving for. So I just had another birthday and I'm excited about my birthday. And my wife and my kids kept asking me, what do you want for your birthday? What do you want for your birthday? What do you want? And I've been saying, you know, I don't know. You know, usually when I want something, I go get it. So it's not, you know, I don't know really what you can get for me for my birthday that I don't already have. I don't know what you can get that I, you know what? And finally I said, you know, I just want everybody to be together. I just want all y'all to come to the house. Just be with me. Just enjoy. Let's just spend some time together. We have had a very busy year. Everybody's been busy. Let's just spend some time together. Then it wasn't good enough. Tyra kept asking. Tyra Jr. kept asking. Even Tyreek, oh my goodness, my baby boy, asked me, what do you want for Christmas? I'm like, wow, Lord, something must be on the horizon. So finally I answered and I said, listen, just keep me away from the hospital this birthday. All I want to do is not go anywhere near anybody's hospital. I just want to be hospital free for my birthday. And I was like, okay, really, Dad? Seriously? Well, what happens is I was out with my boys not long ago, and we was kind of reminiscing on every couple of years how I just seem to be the one out of the group that keeps having these surgeries. It's kind of annoying that I'm the one in the group out of the three of us that keeps having these surgeries every couple of years. And we were laughing about my sports injury a couple of years ago. For my 40th birthday, I decided we were going to go to the trampoline park. So we were all jumping on trampolines, and I was flipping. Y'all would be surprised how Pastor T was flipping in and out of the bouncies and going from thing to thing, from trampoline to trampoline, and I was jumping from square to square, and I was doing my thing. Well, there came a point where I jumped, and we were jumping high, and I jumped as high as I could and flipped into the ball section of the trampoline park. And the next thing I remember is that they were pulling me out. The EMS was there, they were pulling me out, and I, needless to say, I did not leave the trampoline park the same way I went in. And you're saying, oh my God, Pastor Tyrus, are you serious? Yeah, that was my 40th birthday gift to myself, another surgery. I was right there at the hospital, had to be in there, had to get my quad reset. I had separated my patella from my quad, and it was not fun. It was not fun. So all of you who think that I'm walking with a limp because I'm a gangster and I'm from New York, nah, actually, I got a little bit of a problem. You know, my surgery kind of left me like this. It just kind of left me with a limp, but that's all right. God knew I was crippled when he called me, so I'm good. So here it is. So what I'm saying that this particular time, I did not want to go to the hospital for my birthday. I just want to be healthy. I want to be good. Part of the reason why I didn't want to go to the hospital, because I remember the recovery. I remember how long it took. It was only supposed to take 6 weeks for me to heal. 8 weeks, I would have been back to normal. The doctor was saying in about a good 3 to 6 months, a little bit more than 6 months, I'd be able to run again. I'd be able to do some of the things I was doing prior to me having this injury. Well, with that in mind, I was like, well, perfect. I'll go to physical therapy, as you told me, once I was able to start bending and stretching and going through the process. Many of you are familiar with any type of surgery. You have to go through a whole process, and you have to start that healing journey, right? So I started, okay, I'm starting to go through this, go to physical therapy. And I remember the doctor saying, if you go to therapy and you do exactly what they say, you can get exactly where you were. Or at least he said to me, if you're not as good before surgery, you'll be even better. My God, I was so excited because I was like, okay, perfect. Well, I'm going to keep on going to this physical therapist 3 times a week. Then we dropped down to 2x a week, then 1x a week. And then there were some things in between physical therapy I was working on my own. The reason why physical therapy was important to me because I had hope. If I kept going to physical therapy, I would get better. If I kept moving, I would get better. And there's something about knowing that you're going to get better that kind of motivates you to keep moving towards it. It's something about knowing that it's about to change that kind of makes you keep doing it. Something about knowing that you're going to feel better and kind of return to normal. You hear what I'm saying? Something about that makes you feel like, Yeah, I'm going to keep doing this. I'm going to keep going. I want to keep on. I want to keep moving. And all of that is great. And it sounds good until you have to actually start doing the work. And here it is. Here I am. Each time we're bending a little bit, then we're bending more. And the process seems to be so slow. It seems like it's not working out. It seems like it's not going. And I remember the last couple of times I went to physical therapy, he said, Mr. Hinton, you have to be willing to work harder than the last time you was here. And I'm breaking out with sweats and I'm really doing all I can because I'm working in between. And he's saying, yeah, the harder you work, the more results you'll see. And I'm like, okay, all right, that sounds good. Now, that sounds pretty on Facebook. That sounds pretty on Instagram. That sounds cool on TikTok. It's nice to see this on Twitter. Yeah, the harder you work, the better you'll see it. But work is not easy. Work is hard. Work is just that. That four-letter word can change your whole life. When it's time to go to work, it changed your whole life. And here it is. But I knew that if I worked, there was a chance that I would be better. I wanted to go past better. I wanted to be best. I wanted to be better than I was before my surgery. And here's this. We love the idea of what we can be. I'm not sure excited how excited we are about doing the work. We love the idea that we can be great. We love the idea that we can be better. We love the idea that we can go further. But I don't know how many of us are really that excited about doing the work. My wife and I were up this morning about 3:30, 4 o'clock. Close to 4 o'clock, we were up. And my wife looked over at me, you up? I'm like, yes, you up? And we're watching this show. And we started watching the show about a group of guys who started taking journeys and doing work and started taking different risks. And we were just like, wow. And my wife said that, listen, no, I can't tell you exactly what she said. All she let me know was, that's not for us. We don't do stuff like that. And I was like, babe, but you got to take a list. You got to do the work. She said, yeah, you got some work you have to do, some work you want to do. When she said that this morning, yo, I've been up since early. When my wife said that this morning, I was like, whoo! Yeah, some work you want to do, some work you have to do. Tonight, we're going to talk about some work that you want to do. Not work that you have to do, but work that you want to do. The reason why I want to talk to you about working the word tonight is because God makes a promise to Abraham in Hebrews, the 6th chapter, the 13th verse. He says, when God made a promise to Abraham, since there was no one for him to swear by, no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself. If we think about the word of God, we think about John 1 and 1. In the beginning was the word. The word was God. The word was with God. And without him, there would not be anything. Nothing, no one greater to swear by but myself. In Genesis, he says, I am the word. I am the way. I'm the truth. I'm the light. There's nobody that can do this but me. Nobody has enough street cred, as I heard Pastor Johnny reference the other day, street cred. Nobody else has enough street cred like me. Nobody else's name means more than mine. I'm Jehovah Rapha. I'm Jehovah Yabana. I'm just Jehovah Sinkanu. I'm Jehovah Jireh. I am your peace. I am your banner. I am your righteousness. No one's name is greater than my name. He says to Abraham, there's nobody else to swear by. I swear by me. And here's what I'm swearing to you, that I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. Man, I tell you, you mean to tell me, God, you're going to do this for me? As flawed as I am, you're going to do this for me? With the way my attitude is from time to time, God, you're going to do this for me? He's like, yes, surely I will. While we're on consecration, you're wondering, God, is this really worth the sacrifice? I don't know if you're like me. Some days you just wake up and you're like, man, I want a bacon sandwich. Woo! Who can go through a pack of bacon? Tyrus. And now they got the nerve to make sausage in bacon form so I can eat sausage like slices of bacon. Some days I wake up, I can smell bacon. Ain't nobody cooking bacon nowhere in my house. But I can smell it. I'm like, God, some days I don't want to do this anymore. I want more than just water. I want more than just Gatorade. I want some good old-fashioned Kool-Aid. Cherry and grape. Put a little Sprite in that. Some days I don't want to. But when knowing that God is saying, hey, surely I'm going to bless you, it makes me want to do the work to get to the reward that he has for me. Now, look at this. He's not telling Abraham, he's not saying that you even have to work for it. All he told Abraham was that he had to be patient. And the Bible says after Abraham waited patiently, he received what God had. What does this have to do with the word? The word of God serves as a source for at least three things for all of us that are believers, all right? The first source it serves as is a source of revelation. Revelation is the communication of truth which could not be discovered by natural reasoning. It is God's unveiling of purpose to man. The word that we have to work, and the reason why we need the word is because the word is a great revelator. It reveals to us. It doesn't only reveal to us, it reveals in us, which comes out and through us. God wants to use you. Would you type this in the chat for me tonight? That God wants to use me to reveal truth to others. I'll give you a moment. Just type that. If you're taking notes, write that down. God wants to use me, little old me, yeah, you, to reveal truth to others. All right? So that's one source, all right, for the believer. The second thing, the word of God serves as a source of inspiration. The word of God inspires us. The word of God, y'all, is more than just a motivational speech. Trust me, I am a motivational speech guy all day. I'm on that Stairmaster sometimes. I'm on that motivational speaking. I'm listening to whoever's in my voice, in my ear, and they're just talking, and you can do it and push and don't stop and don't quit. Or sometimes there are messages that I'm listening to that become really motivational and inspirational. It's like, oh, my God. But the word of God, it's a source of inspiration. The word of God inspires us. The word of God takes form and becomes life in us. The word of God is powerful and it inspires us, all right? The third thing the word does for us as believers is it illuminates us. So it provides revelation, it provides inspiration, but then it also provides illumination. The word of God, the Holy Spirit, lights up in us and allows us to see in dark places where we normally wouldn't be able to see. Now, remember, just like I told you last week, we're not looking for dark places exterior. We're looking for dark places interior. And the only way we'll be able to see us is through the Holy Spirit. Because if we look at us, as Pastor has already demonstrated for us many times, we'll use different angles. We'll take our cell phones and we'll be like, do this. I remember Tyreek sometime, he wants me to like get down and get a picture of him up like this. And he's doing different angles and dad this and dad move this way and dad do this and dad so that I can get the proper angle. With the Holy Ghost, no matter what angle you turn, with the word of God, no matter what way you turn, the angle is still going to illuminate and show you you. The word of God has the ability to not only show me me, but it also has the ability to brighten up every dark place. We're talking about the word of God. Sometimes if we're honest in life, we can get really dark because sometimes these promises take time. He told Abraham, yeah, I'm blessing you. Surely I swear upon myself, I'm going to bless you, Abraham. You don't have to worry about a thing. I'm going to take care of you. Not only am I going to bless you, I'm going to bless your descendants. I'm going to bless everything connected to you. Oh, Abraham, I got you, brother. But there's a meantime. There's a waiting time. And sometime in that waiting time, it can get dark. Sometime in that waiting time, you can get really weary. Sometime in that way, because that's why there's scriptures that tells it, be not weary in well doing, for you'll reap in due season if you just faint not. You know, other scriptures, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So there's times that we're waiting, and sometimes we can get so weary. But the word of God serves as an illuminator. It's illuminating. It lightens up. It refreshes. And it removes darkness. The word of God brings light. All right, now I gotta hurry up through here. I hope y'all are enjoying. If you're enjoying, just type amen in the chat. If you're really enjoying the word of God tonight, chat. All right, seven reasons. I got to give you seven reasons tonight why you should work the word. All right, we're on consecration. We're in our second week of consecration. And I know you're like, okay, I've been reading the same thing. I've been going over the same thing. Some of you might do like me, and you pick up some of your old fasting journals and you read through those fasting journals again, and you try to, you know, or you might get some new material that will aid you in your fasting. But here are seven reasons why you should be in physical therapy with the word. Seven reasons why you should work the word. Reason number one is because the word is like fire. That's the first reason you should be working the word. Because the word is like fire, right? We used to sing song, Jeremiah said it's like fire. Shut up in my bone, shut up in my bone. You know, we used to sing that all the time. But the Bible even tells you right here in Jeremiah 23, the word of God, it burns, it cleanses, it purges all that is contrary to its standard. The word of God is like fire. That's why you should work the word. That's the first reason why. It's because the word of God is powerful. The word of God consumes. The word of God makes things disappear. The word of God makes things go away. All that could be in our heart, all that could be building in us, all that the enemy's trying to cause us to think and bring upon ourselves, the word of God has an effect. It can burn it right up. No, it's not going to live here. Nope, it's not going to go here. Nope, my fire is consuming. Nope, my Holy Spirit is fire. Second reason why, the word of God is like seed. Why you should work that fire, why you should work that seed? Because the seed produces. 1 Peter 1 and 23, Luke 8, James 1. Here it is. Let me paraphrase all three of them. It is germinating. It's life producing. Having the potential of eternal life in it. The word of God is like seed buried down inside with a promise of resurrection, with a promise of getting up, with the promise of making new, with the promise of sprouting in its season. That's why you should work the word. That's why you should water it daily. That's why you should be in it. That's why you should be reading it. That's why you should be consistent, because the word of God is seed that you keep putting inside you so that you can receive your promise. The word is like seed. I sow it with expectation. I sow it with the plan to reap. I sow it with understanding that I shall reap because of what I sow. The word, and the more I sow the word in me, the more I drive out anything that shouldn't be. It's germinating. It's life producing. It has the potential of eternal life in it. All right, go to three. The word is like a lamp. Psalm 119 and 105, it's an instrument of light and illumination in darkness. The Bible says that the word of God is a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. So at times when we seem lost for direction or we feel like we don't know which way to turn, we can always go to the word and just work the scriptures, work the principles that we find there, work the Bible. I know many folks are trying to figure out, it's consecration. Where do I start? What should I do? I started reading the Bible, true story, in Sunday school. Yep, we went through all, I knew all of the Bible stories in Sunday school. Yep, they gave us prizes. They gave away things for the things that you learn. That's how I learned the books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus. We didn't do a song. We didn't have a song. We had to learn the names in the books of the Bible. 66, we had to know. 39, Old Testament. We had to know the books of the Bible, period. 39 old, 27 new. You couldn't make a mistake. I learned the Bible. I learned the things of the Bible. I learned the Bible stories. Now, that was when I was growing up. I learned the Bible when I started having trouble. I learned to work the word and search the word and find myself in the word when trouble started finding me. When I needed to know how to get out of situations, that's how I learned to work the word. That's how I learned to look for the light. And the word of God is the light. It is the source of direction. It is the source of strength. It is the source of power. It is the thing that drives out all darkness. The word of God is like, work that lamp. The word of God is like a mirror. Number four, the word of God is like a mirror. James 1 and 23, it reveals to us what we are, not only what we are, not only what we are, but what we can be in Christ. Woo! Lord, I feel like shouting here tonight. The word of God, it not only revealed to me what I am right now, but it also says what I can be. You mean to tell me I can be the lender, not the borrower? It tells me I can be the head and not the tail. It tells me I can be above and not beneath. It tells me I can be healed. It tells me I can be fruit of righteousness. It tells me that I can produce. It tells me everything I can. That's why I love the word. I don't mind working the word because it tells me not only where I am, but how God sees me. While you're on consecration, stop beating yourself up. Stop saying what you're not, what you didn't do, what you didn't accomplish, what didn't happen. Start saying what you don't see. Start walking by faith and not by sight. Start speaking those things that are not as though they already are. Claim your healing, claim your salvation, claim whatever you need, claim it. Lay claim to it. Except, nope, God, that's not what you said about me. Nope, God, that's not how you see me. Nope, God, that's not how my kids gonna end up. Nope, God, that's not how my spouse gonna end up. Nope, God, that's not how my money gonna work out. Nope, God, that's not how you promised. This is what the Lord promised me. And you know what this is for you. You gotta work the word. Work the word, all right? The next reason why you want to work the word is because the word is like a sword. Number five. I love this. Hebrews 4 and 12. All right. I'll paraphrase it for you here. The word of God is sharp. It's two-edged in its operation. It separates the things of the flesh and the spirit. That's what I love about the word of God. Because we have to use sharp knives to cleanse stuff, to then consume stuff so that it's good for us. That's what we love about the word of God. It's sharp. Now, I know growing up, when they used to tell us the word of God is sharp, when they used to tell us the word of God, it was to scare us. Oh, the word of God, it cuts, and it goes between the joint and the marrow, and it divides, and the saved are separated from the unsaved. Oh, yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying, but the word of God is sharp. It cuts, it prepares to make me better. Huh? Can you see it like that? The word of God cuts, it sharpens to make me better, for me to obtain, for me to receive the promises of God. Yes, the word of God is sharp. Yes, the word of God is powerful. Yes, it's a double-edged sword, and it's designed for me to bless me, but all I got to do is work it. If you know how to work the word, you can see the victory you've been waiting for. All right. Number six, and I'm hurrying on. Number six, the word is like a nail. In Ecclesiastes 12, verse 11. All right. The word of God is like a nail. Paraphrase this for you. It's fastened in a sure place, and we can safely hang everything on it. There's no weight restrictions in the word. There's no weight restrictions in the word. There's no worry about if the drywall or if the sheetrock has the right lumber behind it to hold it in place. Not with the word. The word is the size that you need it to be to hold whatever you have for it to hold. If you have burdens that need to be held, the word has the capability to hold it. If you have any sorrow that need to be held, you can put them sorrow in the word and the word can hold it. The word can also lighten the burden. A word can also lift it. The word can also change it. The word has the power. It's like a nail. You can safely hang things on the word. You can seek the word for understanding. You can have a conversation with the word and not worry about the word talking back to you or telling nobody else about your situation. You can safely hang things on the word. You can safely hang your confidence on the word. Well, the Bible says this. There's no greater stock conversations that I enjoy than those Bible conversations. Oh, man, let's start talking about the word. Woo, we can talk now. We can talk. Let's start talking scriptures. I remember as a teenager growing up, when we used to, the deacons, you know, deacons were, they were kind of mean back in the day. But them deacons also knew their Bibles. And if you talk a word, you can start a scripture, they'll finish it. If you finish it and if you say it wrong, you'd get corrected, but you'd know it next time. Because they were saying, how can you build on something that you don't know? You can safely hang things on the word of God. It's a nail. It's a staple. It cannot be moved. We can safely hang things on it. And the final thing the word is, which is where we land in our text today. The word is like an anchor. Hebrews 6, 18 through 19. It holds the believer safely through every storm. The word is like an anchor. If we go back up there to Hebrews, the 6th chapter, in the 18th and 19th verse, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul. It's firm. It's secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. Tonight, I don't know what stands before you or on side of you or around you or is trying to creep up on you. If you work the word, if you work the principles of the word, if you work the joy of the word, if you hide yourself in the word, I promise you, you'll have victory every time. You'll have victory. I promise you. Would you type that in the chat? I'll have victory every time. I'll have victory every time. I'll have, that's right, type it in. I will have victory every time. I will have victory every time. What seems dark, what seems gloom and doom, what seems like it's not going to happen to others, God will give you victory every time because you've learned how to work the word. You've learned how to thumb through the scriptures. You've learned how to go right to it. You've learned how to figure it out. You've learned what can get you out of situations. The word of God, a lamp, a light, powerful, sharp. The word, there's security in the word of God. And tonight, my brother and my sister, I want you to know that the word will work if you work the word. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for another day. Thank you for another opportunity to share your word. Thank you for putting it on our senior pastor's heart to share this, his space and his time with us to give and pour out to the people of God around the world. Now, God, you know who's watching. You know what they stand in need of. You know my brother, my sister right now who was thinking about maybe going a different way and thinking about making a different decision. God, guide us back to the light, which is your word. That we may have confidence in it, that we may have security in it, that we may build our hopes in it. We thank you for that now. We declare it done in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We all type together, amen, amen, amen. Would you type that, amen? If you believe God tonight, if you believe that, you know, from now on, going forward, you may have been working the word already, but tonight I hope that I've stirred up the gift of God that is in you that makes you want to work the word some more. I pray it makes you want to go back into the scriptures and get excited again. You know, I get excited. You talk about Hebrews 11 and 1 by faith. And we just start talking about the hall of faith. We start talking about the goodness of God. Start talking about the glory of God. All of that should stimulate your faith. The word should stimulate you to a place of joy, peace, and happiness. And tonight, I want to encourage you to work the word. Let's give. Let's give to the work of the kingdom. Let's give. We have our building campaign going on right now. And let me tell you, the Lord has given us so much favor. He's given us favor through you. He's given us favor through you. Let me say that again. He's given us favor through you. As you increase and as the Lord enlarges you and your territory, you're able to increase in your giving to the house of the Lord. And tonight, I want to encourage you to give. Give. He'll give it back to you. The favor that rests on this house is resting on your life. And you know that your best is yet to come. Your ladder has to be greater, according to Haggai 2 and 9. Your ladder has to be greater. Come on, get the promise of Abraham. Come on, Haggai. The ladder has to be greater than your former. I want you to give and watch God give you peace. I want you to give tonight. The information is on your screen. You can use that QR code. If you already set up in PushPay, you'll just hop onto the app. However you flow with your giving, I want you to give tonight. I want you to give in faith, knowing that everything God's promised you, you're going to get it. Everything that God's promised you, you are going to get it. I would dare to type that in the chat tonight. If I had the chat open, I would be typing. I'm going to get everything God's promised me. I don't fear in sowing. I don't fear in giving because I'm going to get everything God promised me. Why don't you sow tonight? Why don't you give? Not equal gifts, but equal sacrifice. Whatever you can give tonight, I want you to sow it into the house of the Lord and watch God do it. Let's pray. God, we thank you again for both gifts and givers. Thank you, God. We appreciate you. We love you so much. Now, God, as folks are giving tonight from their pocketbooks and their wallets, God, from their accounts, they're giving tonight. We look forward to you replenishing all. Lord, let them have more than enough out of what they pour out tonight. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. We all say together, amen, amen. All right, overcomers, family and friends, we'll see you on Sunday. Those of you who can make it to the building, we'll see you in the building. As you know, when we leave tonight, the sanctuary will be sanitized again. Everything will be sanitized. We'll be ready for your arrival on Sunday morning, 10 a.m. sharp. You want to be here, be in your seat, ready to worship the Lord. If you are a part of our online community and that is the way you're worshiping with us right now, make sure you're in place. Sunday at 10 a.m., our pastor has a word from the Lord just for you. We'll see you on Sunday morning.